Good morning and greetings to everyone here this morning. We're glad to be here with you all. If you would, you can turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. There's a thought there, I'd like to read that chapter this morning, or some of it at least. But as a young boy, we took a trip to Belize. I was 9 years old, I think, and we went through Veracruz, Mexico. And one memory I have of going through that town, there was a huge, in my mind, it was a huge, biggest ship I ever saw sitting there in the Gulf there. I don't know, I think it was a freighter of some kind, but just this big ship sitting there. And I've seen other ships since then, probably bigger ones. But to a nine-year-old, that was the biggest ship in the whole world sitting there. And, you know, the freighters, those big cargo ships that they have, they load over in Japan, they'll load them full of cars, electronics, whatever they export. And they can haul a tremendous lot of things. And those ships are built for a specific purpose. And we were just at a funeral this week. Friday, we were at a funeral. And some of these thoughts were borrowed from thoughts that were picked up there or over that time somehow. And I'd like to think of our lives this morning as a ship. You know, life is a voyage. We're born with a specific purpose in mind. Our Creator has a specific purpose. And yet He's given us the power to choose. He's given us the power to choose. From the day of our birth to the day of our death, we are on the water of life. And our life is the ship. And the waters that we sail in are the circumstances that we encounter. And you know, the circumstances are different for each of us. But we're all alive. And because we're all alive, that means we're all sailing. We're all sailing. I'd like to read Jonah 1 here. We'll read down through verse 16. Jonah 1, verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause... Whoops, I was reading it again. He said unto them, I am in Hebrew. No, I was right. They said, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. So God had a plan for Jonah here, a plan and a purpose in Jonah's life. And Jonah decided that he was going to do the exact opposite of what God said. He did not want to take the destination God gave him, so he chose a different one. In our life, there's different things here. I'd like to look as a ship, as we look at a ship, think of our life as a ship. Ships are committed to sailing. Whether that's intentional or not, ships are committed to sailing. As long as we're living, we are in the water. And we're a ship sailing. But do we have a destination? Do we have a fixed destination? God gave Jonah a destination, and Jonah decided to choose his own destination. And so he ran. So in Jonah's life, he wanted to take control of his ship, as it were. And he went down to the ship and went. But to make progress, we need a clear understanding of where we're headed. To measure progress, we need a clear understanding of where we're headed. Otherwise, you don't know if you're making progress. You can be going in a circle, and you can be busy, and you can be occupied, but there's no progress made. On a ship, the owners and the captain of the ship choose the destination. The destination is important to the success of the voyage. Because without it, the voyage has no purpose. You can imagine loading up a cargo ship with all the containers, whatever they put in there, the coal, lumber, grain, cars, whatever, anything that they ship on those ships. And if the owner, the corporation, or whoever that owns the ship, if they don't have a destination in mind, they load it up and they get the provisions for the crew and they get enough food for a month and they just send them out there. What purpose is there in this venture? There's no benefit in sending a load of merchandise out to float around in this ocean with no place to go. So destination is important for the goal, destination is a goal, and it's important to measure progress. That's a commitment is the destination. I would call that the destination. Once you're committed to a destination, then you work towards getting there. The captain is the one that's in control. He's the one that controls the voyage and guides the ship. through the water. The captain's task is to make sure the ship arrives at the destination. So if I, in my own life, who is the captain in my life? First of all, do I have the destination? And secondly, who's in control of getting there? Do I take control of my own life and try to set my own goals and become and accomplish the things that I need to accomplish? Is that up to me to do that? Or do I turn that over to somebody else? Who is in control of my life? Is my direction just chosen? If I am the one that's in control, is my direction and destination chosen just by what I feel like at the moment? If it is, it's not a very clear, there's not a very clear route that I'm taking to anywhere. Well, not anywhere good. But if I'm the one that's choosing or that's basing my route or my way through life just on my whims, it's going to look like a ship that's just making loops out in the ocean. The other option that I have for control is if I turn it over to the control of Jesus Christ. It's still up to me, because God gave the life and the choice to me. It's still up to me to choose the path. But Christ is there to guide us on the path. He is the captain. An experienced pilot or captain doesn't always avoid the rough waters. He just knows which rough waters to go through to arrive at the destination the best way. Just because I turn my life over to Christ doesn't mean that I am going to have smooth sailing. It hasn't worked that way for me personally. But if Christ is the one that knows the way, and he knows that we need to go through the rough waters to get to the other side. We don't just go through the rough waters because we didn't know what we were doing. The captain also controls the cargo, or controls what goes into the ship. On a ship, as it's going through life, it acquires cargo. And cargo is just things, it can be experiences that we have. There's positive cargo, good cargo, friendships that we make. We can enrich, it enriches our worldview, it enriches our relationships. Positive experiences in life are things that adds to our awareness, spiritual growth, our maturity. We can grow in grace. That's something that the Bible commands us to grow in, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. Grow in the fruits of the Spirit. This kind of cargo actually helps our ship to float better. There's no limit on how much of that cargo we can take into our ship. It doesn't weigh down our boat at all. In fact, it helps it float better. But then on the other hand, we acquire cargo sometimes that weighs down our ship, weighs down the boat. Sometimes we call it baggage. But our cargo that weighs down the ship could be things like grudges, holding a grudge or nursing a grudge against somebody, and making and having it grow in our mind just weighs down our boat. Anger and lust, stubbornness, disobedience, ill will, and all kinds of things that baggage, and even there's other baggage too, but things that sinks down our boat. And as our boat sinks down lower in the water, if we do go hit some choppy water, it doesn't take nearly as big of a wave to come into that boat and fill our boat up. There's a saying, I think it was in the Sword scrapbook years ago, and I heard it this weekend too, but it says that it's not what is around the boat that sinks it. It's what's inside the boat that sinks it. So if we fill up our boat with extra unneeded, unnecessary cargo that sinks it, makes it sink down lower, it puts us in a position to take in water to sink our boat. It makes the rough waters rougher and more dangerous. Another thing from the story of Jonah here, Jonah was fast asleep. Jonah was in this ship. He was fast asleep. Have we ever been asleep, or have we known somebody that was asleep, and we've had unwanted cargo on our boat, and we were asleep right in the middle of it? Jonah was asleep. Sometimes we're asleep. The waves can crash and roar, our boat's pitching and tipping, and we sleep right through it. We can be asleep with unwanted baggage is a dangerous position to be in. There's another story of a storm that I'll read. It's in Acts 27, and it might be just a little bit, Acts 27, verse 9 there. It's a story of Paul when he was on the ship. And this boat, or this ship, it was a passenger ship, and it was also a cargo ship. And due to some bad advice and some bad judgment couple weeks for everybody involved there. We'll read that story here, Acts 27, verse 9. It says, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, or the majority vote to leave, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence they sailed close to by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which was called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. So they just They just pulled down the sail and just let the wind blow it wherever it wanted to go. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. So they are getting desperate. They're just pushing cargo overboard, pushing the sails, pushing everything they can, just pushing it over. And when neither the sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. That means that they checked the depth there, I think, and it was getting shallower. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. While the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat, and we were all in the ship, 260 souls. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. So this story here gives the experience of desperation. It started out as a good voyage, and it turned into a desperate mess. There was almost 300 people on that ship, and it pitched and turned and just basically floated out there on that ocean or that sea for 2 weeks. And they just kept throwing things overboard, and finally, the ship was broken up, but they ended up being saved. But there was a verse that stood out there. It said, that they noticed that the bottom was getting shallower, or the ocean was getting shallower. It says they cast out four anchors out of the stern, or out of the back of the boat, and wished for the day. In this journey of life, there's times that we are tossed about. We're tossed this way and that way in the water or in life. Circumstances come and pitch us one way. Actions of somebody else come and pitch us another way. And we're just tossed back and forth. And we throw out things. We throw out this baggage and we throw out that, and we're trying to just stay afloat. And sometimes the actions of others can cause us damage physically and financially, emotionally. And sometimes we're not sure where we are. We get disoriented and we fervently wish for the day. We want to just stand still until some light can be shed on our life. We've probably all been in situations, some to a greater degree, some to a lesser degree, but we've all been in troubled waters. And we've been in places where we've just wished for some light to be shed on this, on our situation. Wish for some light. We wish for the day. We cast out the anchors and just try to hold still for a little bit. But God is with us even in those times. And you know, it's in those times when we especially need to turn control of our ship to God. It's in times like that when it's also especially tempting for us to try to take control and drive the ship ourselves. In those times is when we need an anchor. God is an anchor. He is an anchor. But we don't always see. We're not always able to see it that way. I'd like to leave the challenge with us today. Several things. As we look at our own life, to choose the destination for our ship. That should be the first thing that we do, is to choose the destination. And the next thing is to surrender the control to a captain who knows the way, which is Jesus Christ. Also, to be awake, to know what's going on around us, to know what kind of baggage we have, what kind of cargo we have on our ship. And to acquire the positive baggage, the baggage that helps our ship float better. And to throw out the baggage that weighs down the boat. Because someday, the boats that leave the harbor will reach their destination. Where will ours end up? Let's stand.